Ralph Waldo Emerson. And if you were at the history class last week, you will know that Ralph Waldo Emerson was a Unitarian minister and a Transcendentalist. Transcendentalists were sort of the rabble-rousers. They were the young bucks of their generation that challenged the old fogies and their way of thinking about God and church and religion. And the Transcendentalist said, God is right here. The divine, the sacred is right here, right now. Just go outside and look at a tree. Look at a child. That is divinity. So hear his words. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Miracles have ceased? Have they indeed? When? They had not this afternoon when I walked into the woods and got into bright, miraculous sunshine in shelter from the roaring wind. Who sees a pine cone or the turpentine exuding from the tree or leaf, the unit of vegetation fall from its bough as if it said, the year is finished, or hears in the quiet, piney glen the chickadee chirping his cheerful note, or walks along the leafy promontory-like ridges, which natural causeways traverse the morass, or gazes upward at the rushing clouds, or downward at the moss, or stone, or says to himself, and says to himself, miracles have ceased? It's the anniversary today, or tomorrow, of Buddha's enlightenment. I was looking for an idea of how to bring wonder and Buddha's enlightenment together and came across a small statement by Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist abbot and monk. He says, enlightenment is always here. Small enlightenment will bring great enlightenment. If you breathe in and are aware that you are alive, that you can touch the miracle, a wonder of being alive, then that is a kind of an enlightenment. And as we settle into our stillness together now, may you know enlightenment in your next breath. This is a wondrous time of year. Between the anniversary of Buddha's enlightenment and Hanukkah and Christmas and solstice, there's a lot of wonder this month. Thich Nhat Hanh also suggested that if you walk on the earth as if every step you took was your feet kissing the earth, you would become enlightened. I like that idea. I like that practice, that every step is a kiss with Mother Earth, Father Earth. It puts my heart into my feet. It's direct and unambiguous. The real challenge is that living in awareness part, staying and living in that present moment. We think it's so easy, and it's quite a challenge. Most of us are present and fully aware when we kiss someone. Could we have that awareness all the time with every step we take? If one can bring even a little awareness to our lives, like now, to being present to our thoughts, our breath, our pumping heart, the air around us, those that are sitting close to us, the awareness of the ground, in the limitless sky above our heads, above this building. If we can do that, we come so much closer to that state of wonder. There are wonders in nature all around us. We have access with every breath and with every step. They are of the simplest variety, the unfolding of a seed, as its roots go down and its trunk, branches, and leaves go up and it transforming from that tiny seed into a magnificent tree. That is wonderful. The exquisite taste for me of chocolate, or the smell of a fresh orange being opened up in a room. The complex system of our human body with all its functions, and the astonishing need in the human being to make meaning out of our lives. How extraordinary. To me, these are all wonders, unceasing, evolving, replicating wonders of life. The secret, I think, is in how we see it. To experience the wonders of life around us, we must open ourselves like we used to do when we were children. And in Buddhist terms, it's to have beginner's mind. When you see the world through the beginner's mind or the eyes of a child, then when you gaze at a flower, you can see the whole universe. The way we see the natural world has changed in the past 100 years or more, obviously. The way we understand it has shifted. As science moves away from the Newtonian perspective toward the quantum perspective on the nature of reality. As you well know, Isaac Newton, his theory of the natural world was based on the idea of the universe operating like clockwork, like a machine, a mechanical system. This worldview changed in the 20th century as scientists began to explore the reality of nature at the subatomic level. What was found there was confusing, challenging, and inspiring. At the subatomic level of matter, one doesn't find anything solid, or even its opposite, empty space. What you find is fields and waves of energy. It was nothing less than a new understanding of reality, a new perspective on what is natural. Quantum imagery challenges our basic assumptions, including how our relationships are organized, what connectedness is, and what control is. In 1930, astronomer James Jean said of this new way of understanding our reality, "The universe begins to look more like a great thought than a great machine." In the Newtonian world, reality was what you experienced through your five senses. You could taste it, touch it, feel it, see it. Therefore, it was real. In the world of quantum, one cannot see the cause of an action, sees the effect, and from the effect, one postulates the cause. The simple example is that waves of energy are like waves in a lake. The pebble that you drop into the lake creates waves that ripple out to the farther edges of the lake shore. And if you were standing on the opposite lake shore, you wouldn't have known that a stone dropped into the water was creating the waves, the ripples that you see. Just so the energy that you release in a room moves as a wave through each person here, affecting and changing their energy. And this is not woo-woo stuff. This is science. Now, there seems to be shapes to these energies of the universe. Shapes that we can see, as they are reflected in physical matter, as they are also structures of patterns of thought and behavior, and more than we know right in this very present moment. Joan, if you would start our pictures. We are talking about shapes of energy. Just so you know, give you a background on the picture so you don't worry about it. There are a sequence of pictures. They will loop through a number of times, so you can keep listening to me, and if you miss a picture, it'll come up again. It's just to support what I'm talking about. So we're talking about shapes of energy. What exists in the outer world of the five senses is a reflection of forces and fields of energy that one cannot see. I think it's still on pause, so you just need to put it on start. Energy moves in shapes. We can experience the shapes through our senses, and we can experience the shapes through energy or the process of them moving through our lives. There we go. We can experience them as they are reflected in how we organize our relationships and communicate. Everything is a reflection of something else. I love this spiral shape. I love what it does. I love its beauty. I love what it means. Spirals are all around us, from the tiniest fern frond to the spiral galaxy that we live in. Each of these recurring spiral shapes tells us something about ourselves, about what we think, about how we interact, and about how we communicate. They are, in fact, organizing forces of nature that we, as part of nature, are affected by and participators in. The spiral has a mathematical formula. The spiral is based on Fibonacci, thank you everyone. The Fibonacci numbers, 1, 2, 3, and 5. They appear everywhere in nature. You can see here, from the leaf arrangement in plants to the pattern of the florets of a flower, the brackets of a pine cone, or the scales of a pineapple. The Fibonacci numbers are therefore applicable to the growth of every living thing, including a single cell, a grain of wheat, a hive of bees, and even all of mankind. In geometry, a golden spiral is a logarithmic spiral whose growth factor b is related to pi, the golden ratio. Specifically, a golden spiral gets wider or further from its origin by a factor of pi for every quarter turn it takes. Even the human body follows the numbers, 1, 2, 3, and 5. You have 1 nose, 2 eyes, 3 segments of each limb, and 5 fingers on each hand. The proportions and measurements of the human body can also be divided up in terms of the golden ratio. Even DNA molecules follow this sequence. These numbers reflected in the golden spiral spiral out into our human world. In the ancient world, the spiral image appears in ancient paintings of rock formations in Australia, Africa, and North America. It's found in Hindu spiritual texts, Japanese rock gardens, and Arabic architecture. In ancient Celtic art, in Aboriginal art on 3 continents, there are depictions of the spiral on pottery and jewelry and on rocks at burial sites. It is believed that the spiral was a representation of life itself and the depiction of the great mystery. The Celtics also created the triple spiral that represented the wholeness of life, or the Holy Trinity of earth, sky, and sea. It had other meanings in the pagan tradition as life, death, and rebirth. In the Wiccan tradition, the triple spiral represents the 3 phases of the goddess, maiden, mother, and crone. Of course, in Britain and North Europe, the pagan tradition was eventually taken over by Christianity, and the triple spiral became the Holy Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In 2 weeks, if you are here, as part of that solstice service and pageant, we will be invited to participate in a form of a spiral dance, or more like a spiral walk. Together, we will move in a circular fashion into the center, where we will be invited to speak of something that we are grateful for. Then we will return back out to the outer world. In ritual space, the movement of the spiral can be experienced as a walking into the depths of yourself, into the center of the self. And there, we pause. There, in the stillness of the center, in the stillness of the center of our lives, we wait, as we do in this season. We wait. And we wait for the impulse or the tug of the universe to return to the outer world. Right now, in this moment, we are participating in this spiral movement, even though you're not moving in your seats. We arrived here today from our outer lives, our busy, everyday, sometimes chaotic lives. We traveled together to this point, and here we pause in our lives. And in a moment, we will return to the outer world again. The pattern or the shape of our lives is a reflection of the spiral movement. And in this way, we are reflecting and participating in the shape of the galaxy. Isn't that quite amazing? Our daily dance, if you will, is directly related to the visible and invisible patterns of energy in which we are both participator, and co-creator. The mover and the moved, in some magnificently complex relationship with all that is. No wonder we feel a connection to each other and to the nighttime stars. We are moving through and moving with patterns of energy that humans have participated in perhaps forever and may forevermore. I believe that this knowledge of the patterns of the universe is a reinforcement that our desire for connectedness is not entirely personal. And that our feelings of loneliness are an indication that we desire, or the universe desires us to return to a pattern of connection. The universe moves us, and we move it. We are part of a great movement, one that we can see reflected in nature all around us, and also in an invisible patterns of energy that we are the participators in, as we move into the center of and then out again. We are part of a miracle of life, part of a wondrousness that will never cease. How amazing is that? Thank you.